This is Marketplace from APM. I'm Kai Rizdahl. Globalization, of course, the kind Senator Graham was talking about in South Carolina today, works both ways. Sometimes it's good for the United States, sometimes it's less good. 2 years ago, the only rare earth metals mine in this country filed for bankruptcy protection. The ongoing dispute over control of that mine's assets, and thus the ore it produces, centers on China's near monopoly of the rare earth element supply chain. Victoria Bruce is the author of a new book on that very topic. It's called Sellout. Victoria, thanks for coming on.
Thank you. Thanks for having me, Kai.
We're going to start with a stipulation and a definition. The stipulation goes like this. You are trained in geology, so you know whereof you speak. And number two is you have to define rare earths for me because they are crucial to this narrative.
So rare earths are very sort of third row down, hidden behind a certain pullout column on the periodic table.
Assuming you know the periodic table, but anyway.
Right. Okay. So they're just very obscure. Into the 90s, though, they became ubiquitous in all of our technology. And that's because they have certain properties that allow very, very tiny magnets to be made. They allow lasers to be made. The problem is they are now completely controlled by China, and we need them for our military.
We used to have in this country a viable rare earths industry, right?
We did, but I would have to say it was a little bit before major technological companies needed the materials. So we have it. We have plenty of rare earths, but they're also mixed with thorium.
Thorium being radioactive.
Thorium being mildly radioactive, yeah. Yes. But at this point, we have, you know, regulations against thorium that make it really, really costly to mine them here. So our mines are a lot more difficult to mine. China had its own rare earth deposits, and China's done this several times before. They drop the price and they put all the other mines out of business.
How did it come to pass that Washington decided, as you say in your title, America's technological soul was up for grabs?
What happened was this goes back to 1991. The Cold War's over. And I mean, it was just like a tsunami of technology leaving the country because these companies wanted access to what they needed. And they also wanted access to the Chinese marketplace, you know, which is huge. And at that point in Anderson, Indiana, there was a plant called MagnaQuench and a development that GM, General Motors, had made that was for the most important magnets in technological history. And we allowed that company to be bought by China. So China said, okay, now we have this company. Now what else do we need? Well, we need all the raw materials. So they now control from the basic, you know, raw materials all the way to the end products that go into, you know, all your fighters, all of our smart bombs, everything.
Take me from then 1990, 91-ish, where we started this tale, to today, right? Because China has the monopoly, say, on rare earths. What does it look like then for American industrial policy to be able to break that monopoly and get some control back here?
So it's not something that one mine can do, obviously. I mean, you're going up against China that has just oodles and oodles of the stuff, you know, the product itself, there's just tons of it. So it really needs some sort of consortium, some sort of, you know, major thought process of people working together. So our lawmakers are really going to have to step up and say, okay, but, you know, in the long run, if we don't have the products and if we don't have the things to manufacture and fabricate the ideas, we're going to go nowhere.
Victoria Bruce, her book is called Sellout. Vicky, thanks a lot.
Thanks a lot, Kai.